comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. The BP oil disaster, well, it's an ever-developing story, is it not? The BP oil disaster has made it into Lake Pontchartrain down in New Orleans, and it has made it onto Texas beaches. Meanwhile, our government has lit a match to the Constitution by making it a felony for anyone, including journalists, perhaps especially journalists, to get close enough to photograph or to video the ongoing incompetence that literally begs for criminal prosecution. Freedom of the press, though used very little by the puppet media, is now officially a felony. Now, that's a change you can believe in. But let me ask you a question. Can the government really destroy the First Amendment? According to them, yes, we can. Have you subscribed to the K-Files e-zine? The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and being that it's free and being that it's an excellent newsletter, I can think of no reason why you would not want to subscribe. All you have to do is go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Look for the link that says K-Files and click it. It'll take just a few seconds for you to subscribe, and then you'll be in. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And, you know, we don't lend our email list out. We don't rent it out. We don't sell it. It's just for us to send you the K-Files. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed to the K-Files, and there's really no reason why you ought to be in the dark. So you've got time during the show. Just go over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe. While you're there, take a look at what you get in the members area, and that's a partial list. You'll see it on the left side of the website. That's just a partial list of what you're missing if you're not a member. You don't have to be a member to listen. You can listen live for free. And we're glad you're here. But you get so much more if you join us in the members area, and it is a whopping 23 cents. 23 cents per day. Now, just take 23 cents down to the local store and see what can you get for 23 cents. Zip. Nothing. But if you skip one Starbucks a month, you've got enough to pay for, well, that's one per month now. You've got enough to pay for your membership for the whole month at the Kevin Smith Show. So is it that big a sacrifice? Not a sacrifice at all. The sacrifice is missing what you're missing. We'll be back with Robbie Thomas right after this. right, welcome back. My guest this evening is someone that our audience is well familiar with, Robbie Thomas. Robbie, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kevin. It's a pleasure.
Robbie, it's been quite a while since you were with us, and there have been quite a number of developments in the Robbie Thomas universe, and we're going to explore some of those developments a little bit tonight. One of the things that you have, some time back, you sort of changed the focus of what you were doing, and you began to focus on working with law enforcement, and focus on solving seemingly unsolvable criminal cases. And let's begin there with what sort of water's been going under the bridge since you were with us last in that arena.
Well, I've set out my footing and went on a month and a half tour, which took me to Iowa, Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, and working with various police agencies such as the U.S. Marshals and local sheriff departments.
The U.S. Marshals?
Well, U.S. Marshal firebomb expert Jeff Broughton. Case in hand was in Ohio, and a gentleman by the name of Robert Brumfield was shot and died in a house fire. So I got the call to investigate this case with Jeff, and which I did, the family at hand, and gave over certain evidence to only back up what he knew, but then there was a bunch more that came forward that he was kind of taken back by. It just gave validity to the fact of the whole case and what was overlooked, and not by him, but by the family members bringing forward and what have you. It's amazing what did transpire, and we were talking about a gun in the floorboards, and then finding out that the night that the gentleman did die, his wife had a crew come in that morning and change her complete house inside from flooring to the walls. Conspicuous, I would say. And knowing that the gun was part of the crime of that part of the family that did this, absolutely.
So is this case in the solved column now?
This case here is very close to being solved. We know who did it. They're piecing it together. It's amazing. Even people are coming forward now and speaking of it who knew. So it's just a matter of time. And it's amazing. I spoke to the mother a few days ago, and it's amazing. It truly is. Trying to keep it hush-hush, and, you know, on the down low, everything that I've told you is out actually now in public. We spoke of it. It's just something that is going to happen very shortly.
You said you've also been working with some sheriff's departments.
Yes, I was down in Kentucky, and two cases there, one in Paintsville, which is Van Leer area, Loretta Lynn's hometown, actually. Got to meet Herman, her brother, and some of her family, finally, and we sat down and talked and went over the case with the family members of April Pennington, what happened, sat with the sheriff, the coroner, the chief of fire department. NBC was filming down there, the newspaper. It was huge. Digging up evidence and looking at certain aspects of this case, and I'm speaking to the coroner, and I asked him, I said, well, when the body was brought into the very first medical practitioner, and the medical practitioner had a license from the state of Kentucky for some time, and I was the very first doctor, and he pronounced her as being murdered. How much time did you have in knowing your craft of what you do? And he said, I had a week and 3 days. And so I sat there and I looked at him. I already knew this, but I looked at him, wanted everybody else to hear it. And I said to him, well, what did you do in a week and 3 days being coroner? He says, well, we watched a film on how to open bodies. And I said, okay, so, you know, what were you prior to that? And he was a grocery clerk. And back in those days, you know, in these little, and I know I'm not disrespecting anybody, but in these little hick towns, if somebody's a sheriff or somebody is on the law enforcement, they can appoint whoever they want to be a coroner or what have you. And this guy was a grocery clerk. And the question was to him was, how can you tell if anybody has died of a heart attack? He said, I can tell if somebody's had died of a heart attack just by looking at them. So he was sworn in as coroner. Now, I brought a very good point up because it was in the medical reports and the sheriff didn't even catch this, the incoming sheriff. I said, well, you lost all her throat parts, her larynx and everything that's there. And he got red-faced. He knew I was digging on him and pointing the fingers at him, which, you know, was proper in this case. And the sheriff sat up and said, what the F? And he didn't understand what I was talking about, and he was taken back. I looked over at the fire chief, and the fire chief was getting a little bit nervous. And I started telling him, you know, there are certain parts of bodies, or her body parts are missing. How can that be? And to me, it looks like a cover-up. And he got a little upset about when I was talking about cover-up. And as we progressed through this meeting, which was all taped, by the way. Every meeting I do is taped for minutes or filmed. And we listened to his speaking on this case. Well, I get home, and I'm in between cases. Then the phone rings, and it's an anonymous phone call. And the lady says to me, the person that's in jail right now, who is the suspect in this case, and is in jail for a different matter, not murder, but different matters, getting out very soon, is related to the coroner. And I started just to put one to one together, and I'm looking at him thinking, well, you know, there is a cover-up. And it ensued at the moment that his relative committed this, and parts of certain body parts are missing, and people are being paid off. People are coming out of the woodwork now because it was on NBC. It was in the newspaper down there, and they're talking. So that's what we utilize the media for, is to get the ramblings to start, the chains to rattle. And now we have water expert Gary Peterson, who's getting the case, and he's licensed throughout the United States as a on-scene death investigator for drownings. And, you know, this girl did not die of a drowning whatsoever. She died of a beating, and the markings on her body just resemble and are part of a beating. It'll all come out very shortly and very soon. I brought in Jeff Broughton, who's the U.S. Marshal as well. He'll be getting a copy of this case, and it's rattled chains. It's literally rattled chains. Now, down in these little, and again, I'm not disrespecting people, but these little hick towns that they have down there in these little counties, the FBI stepped in and cleared out one complete county of the sheriff, the judge, the lawyers, because everybody was on the take. Now, that was just one county over. And I'm thinking, if it's one county over, how mass spread is this in this area? And we found out a lot of things. So that's what's been going on lately in the realm of Robbie Thomas.
Man, that sounds like some place in Louisiana. When I was a deputy sheriff in Louisiana, more than once we had a sheriff from another parish, which is the same thing as a county, in our jail. And there was, at one time, there was a sheriff from a parish in South Louisiana who was in our jail. Now, this was before my time. He was in our jail for attempting a bank robbery in Monroe, Louisiana. While he was in jail, he ran for re-election in his parish and was re-elected. So, you know, corrupt politicians, I guess, you know, Louisiana's famous for them, but they're everywhere. And you said this was in which state?
This was in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, Robbie, doing all these cold cases, now, you know, from my perspective, when I was a cop, I really enjoyed getting to do an investigation on any case that was a little bit old and maybe even classified as a cold case, because it's a challenge. It went as far as those investigators could take it, and now it's my turn to see if I can advance the ball a little bit more. And so it's a little bit of a challenge. But it's also, it really has, you know, you take some wear and tear doing a case like that. How about from the point of view of a psychic, as you are, is it tasking on you? Does it wear on you, or have no effect?
Oh, it wears on me. Draining. You know, we start, by the time I land in the plane and, you know, they pick me up at the airport, bring me in, we start immediately. And the one case in Kentucky, I remember arriving very early in the morning and going to like 3 in the morning that night, and then starting again at 6 in the morning and going again, because there's only so much allotted time that I'm there, 3 days, 3 to 4 days, and I'm working with them. It's amazing, you know, sitting there in Laurel County and looking at one of the suspects, and I'm with Detective DeLay, and we're interviewing the suspect, and you know how it is. They always claim that they got Jesus, and, you know, they found Christianity, and, you know, this or that, and then the next sentence, in the same sentence, they say, Scout's Honor. And I'm looking at this kid, and I'm shaking my head, and I'm looking over at the detective, and he's got his hand on his 9mm Glock. And I know he's just, you know, itching to pull the gun, because these kids were 19, and they murdered an elderly gentleman and his son, and they burnt them to death in a trailer. And we're asking this kid questions, and we're talking to him. He's 24 now, and he's acknowledging everything that's going on. He's saying, yes, yes. And I looked at him and I said, you know, we can pin you there. And I know you're there. You didn't want this to happen. The other two did. But you didn't. And he's going, yes. And then he goes, look at mister, I found Jesus and I'm a church-going Christian, Scout's Honor. And I swear, you know, I've seen these guys and I've been with them enough now. When you look at them, they're cowards. It's amazing to hear what they got to say. And they believe everything they say. They believe every stitch, every word, and you're taping them. And then so you go back, you give them a break, and then you go back and you interview them again, and their story changes a bit, and you look at them, and they still believe this next rendition. It's amazing. But what was really good about this week is karma came around, and I told the kid, karma's going to come. One of the individuals who was one of the main suspects, he was sitting with his so-called drug dealer, and the drug dealer OD'd and was unresponsive, and is part of this murder as well. I'm not sorry to say that he OD'd, because, you know, karma is, you know, it has its way. So the other individual now is apparently, which I heard, is going to be charged with murder in this kid's OD. So one way or another, they're going to go to jail, and it's amazing. It really truly is. The pictures, the photographs, and things that we go through, as you know, Kevin, the public don't get a chance to see this, or they would be totally, you know, dumbfounded and brought to their knees to see the horrific scenes we do. I looked at these two gentlemen that were murdered, and it was horrific. I mean, the cutting off of their left arms, you know, it was barbaric, and it's amazing. And I'm just glad that, you know, to be a part of it, to put these criminals away.
Well, I'll tell you what, jailhouse religion is real in some cases, but in the vast majority it is jailhouse religion, and it is something that is incorporated into their psyche and personality, because they think it will be to their advantage. Some are real. I have met some that it was genuine, but not many. And I even know about one situation where there was an escape and the guy escaped from maximum security. And without getting into all the details, the investigation led right to the jailhouse preacher, the chaplain that was coming in, that sneaked in stuff that helped this guy escape. So jailhouse religion is a really strange brand of religion. And normally, it's just to facilitate facilitate the person's image. They think it does, but in fact it doesn't. And you're also right, though, when you say people don't get to see the horrific scenes that the police are forced to see and that you see in the photographs. I think it would make a huge change in the criminal justice system if those photographs were a bit more public. I think it would make a big change in the criminal justice system.
I do too. Looking over the career of what I've done and looked at the many different families, and then you have the people who are sitting on the outside and they say, well, why can't you help? And, you know, why isn't this guy put away? And they just don't understand. And then you say, just give me a moment. Would you like to see some photographs? Or would you, you know, if they incurred what we went through or what we do, the whole system of the thinking of the mentality of an individual wanting a different jurisdiction that will pass the laws that are more stringent, oh, they would immediately. You know, it's very difficult to sit back and be in layman's terms and sit back as Joe Public and think that, you know, it's okay, I just see it on TV and then I see it in the paper, but it's not really in my face. It's not really there. And if they really seen what goes on and what we do behind the scenes, they'd be totally amazed.
You know, it's interesting that as you were talking, I was thinking how very like the BP oil spill. People see it on TV and they just sort of put it out of mind. It's not on their front door, so they don't think about it much. They better. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking with Robbie Thomas this evening. Robbie is one of the best-known psychics in Canada, in the United States, and other countries as well, and focusing his work primarily on the solving of criminal cases. If you click on his picture on my website, it will take you to his website, Psychic Justice, and quite an interesting website indeed. Now, Robbie, I was saying it's kind of like the BP oil spill. People sort of intellectually say, oh, that's bad. And then they move on to the latest news about Lindsay Lohan getting 90 days in jail. And, the big news is not having much impact on them, but it will. Because this oil spill left as it's going is going to constitute eventually, I'm quite certain, genocide. And people, you know, all across the country, there will be economic collapse as a result of this, and people will starve to death as a result of this if it goes unchecked. Well, crime unchecked is like that oil spill, and you see it on TV and you go, oh, that's bad. Well, it's really bad when it comes through your front door, and left unchecked, it will come through your front door. You have stepped off into an area that can make you a target for people that really don't want to be discovered. Have you had any run-ins with that kind of situation?
Not so much of the criminal aspect, but the hate groups that are out there. And, you know, it's not so much skeptic. The skepticism is fantastic to sit and debate and to give the logistics and, you know, go over the parameters. But to look at the people who threaten you through hate, you just look at that and you just got to laugh at it and move on, move forward. If they were anything of substance, they would, you know, come confront you, but yet they cower behind anonymous names and blog and do things like that.
Well, there's a remedy for that.
Absolutely there is.
Yeah, the remedy for that is in your country, Canada, as well as in the United States, there are very strict laws about slandering someone and defaming their character and thereby harming them financially. And what you do is you file a lawsuit and you let this person or persons prove in court that the statements they've made on the internet are true. And if they can't prove it, they get to pay. And they even have to pay for your lawyers and court costs. And someone's little hate party on the internet can end up costing them, you know, a couple of million dollars.
Oh, you know, we've seen quite a bit of literature which are precedent now in the court systems in Canada, where they just don't get away with it, and mm-hmm. United States as well. But, you know, in the same token, I look at it as, and I've been told by this by many different producers, is they're pushing me into the limelight, which, you know, I laugh at it, but, I mean, they do. And the phone doesn't stop. I mean, it does not stop. So the more they do, the more prevalent I'm getting out there. And, you know, Stop Robbie Thomas is not going to stop Robbie Thomas. It's just making me more out there. And I'm laughing at it more and more every day.
Yeah, you remember when I went through a situation where there was a radio host that was just scorching me night after night after night. And this was in 2007. And saying absolutely awful things about me. In that case, I didn't respond because he was pushing people my direction. And in a few months, my numbers were through the roof, and he was no longer broadcasting. He was out of business. So it does have that effect sometimes. And, you know, that's karma.
It truly is. It truly is. If I look at it this way, if I can occupy a small mind such as theirs throughout their day, and they have nothing better to do, you know, it just makes me that much more visible to them, and I'm happy for it. It's mind-baffling, but I appreciate it because, again, you're absolutely right. It does drive people to you, and it's amazing. They're only making me more, you know, I don't like to say the words, but I mean more famous, more out there, you know, and then now they'll take probably what we're saying now and twist it and whatever, but it's all good. It truly is. And if they keep it up, I'm loving every minute of it.
Well, it is the case that what people intend for evil sometimes turns around and works for good to the one they're trying to hurt. But, you know, whatever you do is coming up behind you. And it's either going to run you down or push you forward, depending on whether what you do is good or evil. And that's the way karma works. And, you know, if some people don't believe in karma, but they will. It will happen. They will. Robbie, why do you do criminal cases? Why, I mean, look, there are so many things that could be done by someone with your abilities and, in fact, have been done by someone with your abilities, by you. But why have you decided that you're going to focus just on the criminal cases?
Yeah, you know, I went through to be, as you know, a police officer many years ago, and that's what I really wanted to do and to be, was a police officer. I remember sitting down with Chief Lund, and he turned to me and he says, you know, one day you're going to make a very good police officer. And I was very young, too young to be an auxiliary. And, you know, I went in very early, ages of like 17, trying to 18, 19, 20, all the way up. And then when I finally did get hired on, a long story behind it, but you know where I found the individual who was dead and then heard him talking to me and what have you. I just looked at the course of what I wanted to be, people calling me and asking me for help. You know what's really funny too, Kevin, is a lot of those people who have called, not a lot, but I'm just, you know, a couple of them, you get it anywhere. If you don't continue to pay attention to them, they get angry, and then they turn on to you. It's amazing. I'm only one individual, and there's so many cases that come through, and people want so much help, and it's baffling, but I continue on. And the reason I continue on is I love people. I really do, and that's what I want to do. You know I'm in movies. I've done television, books, screenwrite. I do paranormal investigations. But the love of what I like to do is to go after the bad guys and help out the police and the system in any way I can to be that much of a tool to even give them a piece of evidence or something that'll turn a case around. Absolutely.
Speaking of books, your latest book has become a bestseller for its publisher, right?
Yes. Yes, it has. And, you know, June 25th, I got the letter and the call, and I was taken back. I was just blown away. I couldn't believe it. Amazing. I didn't even think it would, you don't think of it. You just write your book, you put it out there, you hope that somebody picks it up and reads it, and you go from there. 7 weeks. 7 short weeks and sat number 2 in the bestsellers list. It's beyond me. And
what is the name of the book?
Paranormal Encounters. Amazon right now is temporarily out of stock, but they say it's a 4 to 8 week turnaround. Borders, chapters.ca, all the online stores, they're a few weeks behind, but they will fill the orders. Paranormal Encounters. It's amazing, Kevin. I don't know what to say.
Where do you find time to write when you're traipsing around two countries, at least two countries, working on these criminal cases?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Not only write a book, but write a complete movie script and a second movie script. There's times where I do have a little bit of downtime. And I do. I sit for hours and go over stuff and write and occupy myself and do stuff. It's amazing. Start early in the morning to late at night and, you know, do radio shows. And
as a matter of fact, you did a radio show just before I called you for this one.
I did. You know, two radio shows a day. I did two yesterday, two today, two tomorrow. Yeah, I do. I do. I work around the clock practically.
Do you ever get burned out?
Sometimes I do. I honestly do. And I throw my hands up in the air, and I just throw it up there and say, the hell with it. But I have to refresh, and I have to take my time, because I'm only human, too. So, you know, I make mistakes, and, you know, I do what I do. I'm a dad. And, you know, I get yelled at, and I yell back, take out the garbage, and what have you. I have to refresh, and I do. I take time off once in a while, not very, very often, but I do.
I'll tell you, an absolute guaranteed way to have no arguments with your wife or kids. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
Keep them in another country like I do.
Yes, that would work.
Of course, mine is not by choice. That's not what we had planned. So I say that totally joking, because my wife can get on to me via telephone, and she does sometimes. But I would rather have them present and put up with whatever little bumps in the road there are than to not have them present. So, folks, what I just said was a joke, all right? It was just a joke. So if you get all upset, get a sense of humor. Robbie, you also are putting together this conference that's coming up. It's called, I think you call it Paracon, right?
Yeah, the Canadian American Paranormal Conference, the Can-Am Paracon.
Okay. And where do you find the time to put that together while you're writing books and movie scripts and doing criminal cases and two radio shows a day?
Yeah, you know, it's been an ongoing thing. The very first Paracon I put on took over a year to organize it, so now everything's in place, it's established, and we just went off the very first one we did last year. So the institution of using the media and plugging away and having the tickets, the sponsors were all in place, and it's just, you know, it's a working machine in itself. You put it out there, and it continues to grow and grow and grow. And I bet you about a quarter of my day on that, at least, too.
When is the Paracon going to take place?
August 6th and 7th in Sarnia, Ontario, Canada. We got people coming from all over the United States and Canada. It's going to be great. We got Keith Age, the host of Spooked on Sci-Fi.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I want you to hold up on telling us who's going to be there and what's going to take place, because we have a break that's going to interrupt us in 3 seconds. And then when we come back, we'll talk about who's going to be at Paracon and what's going to be happening. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Robbie Thomas, one of the best known and highly respected psychics in North America. Robbie, when we went away for break, you were just about to tell us some of the people who are going to be guests appearing at Paracon.
Yes, absolutely. Keith Age, the host of Spooked on the Sci-Fi Channel. He was in Children of the Grave, The Possessed, a really good friend of mine, known him for so many years now. We have Aaron Houdini, who is a distant relative of Harry Houdini, the last performing Houdini, that is. He'll be here. He's great, and I've known him for such a long time, too. I met him in 2007... or 2006 at the Mid-South Convention in Kentucky. Great individual. We have David Foltz, who was in Batman Dark Knight. He was in My Bloody Wedding, his new movie that's out, and a whole bunch of others. He'll be emceeing and bringing a little trailer of his new movie that'll be coming out. We have Amy Williamson. She is the Parawomen Scream radio host. She's an actress, a beautiful lady. She'll be coming and talking about Victorian days and women and the mystical mystic. We have Michael Esposito, who will be talking about EVP. He co-starred with me in Dead Whisper, which was shot back in 2005 and brought out in 2006. He was with me in...
By the way, I watched it again last night.
Oh, you did you?
Yes.
It's something that, you know, once in a while you plug in, and I'll be honest, I haven't watched it in a while, but the kids even would plug it in and just, you know, love to see the communication back and forth and what was going on. It's something that you can do every once in a while. Michael also starred with me in the Sally House movie, so which came out last year. He'll be here talking about frequency. He was in the PSYOPs in the American Army, so he really does know his stuff. And I'm proud to call him a friend, and he'll be here as well. We have myself, and I'm going to change it up a little bit this time. I'm going to be doing a gallery of readings, but through dreams. I'm going to read people's dreams live, and it's going to be something. I think they're going to enjoy it.
Well, it sounds like you've got a fantastic lineup of speakers for the Paracon, and it's going to be, give us the dates again.
August 6th and 7th in Sarnia, Ontario, Canada, and everybody can go to CanAm, that's for Canadian American, CanAmParacon.com.
Alrighty. I want to go back to what we were talking about with the investigations into crimes. A question occurred to me during the commercial break, and a question that I think I should ask, and that is, how is it that people are getting in touch with you? I mean, I have your phone number. Does everybody else have your phone number? How do they get in touch with you and get you to do these investigations?
Yeah, you know, it's publicized out there on the websites, my phone number to get a hold of me. But as for the police, word of mouth, and the phone does ring. Family members do get a hold of me, and I do speak with the police. People ask me, what is the ratio? What, you know, I've never really sat down and had time to figure this ratio thing out. But I would say, you know, give or take, it's probably pretty much even, split down the middle. Either the family will get a hold of me, I'll tell them what to do, they'll get the police, they'll talk to me. Or it's the police calling me and I say, I need to speak to the family as well. Yeah, I've never looked at it that way, just too busy to do what they asked of me.
Have you noticed a change in the willingness of police departments to work with you or to use you in their investigation over the years? Has there been a change, or is it still pretty much as it has been?
No, there's been a change. You know, I'm very fortunate to be able to work with one of the high-regarding police agencies in the United States, and that's the U.S. Marshals. It's amazing because he was skeptic. And when we first started out, prior to me going down to this case, I gave him 7 points, 7 major points in an email. And all I had was the back picture of the house and a picture of the individual who died. Everything I gave him was direct hit on what he knew already that you just couldn't pull out of a hat. So I'm thinking, you know, the messages are coming through clearly now, and they do on every case. And to me, it seems very obscure, very, you know, out there. But I'm going to say it anyways, and I'm going to write it down. And when I do, it hits with them. And so when I met with Jeff, it was amazing because he's an amazing man. He's got decades of expertise behind him, and he's not someone you can fool with. You can't fool with the U.S. Marshals. And, I mean, they know everything about you, and it's just, it's amazing.
Did you know that is the only constitutional law enforcement agency at the federal level?
Yeah, I did. We were talking about that. And the amazement about what you just said was we went over a case, and he pulled out the demographics on an individual. They know when that individual was breathing. They know every move they were making from their cell phone, GPS, everything. They knew.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we have hundreds of alleged law enforcement agencies that are federal, but the only one that is allowed by the Constitution is the U.S. Marshals, and they really have some power. You see on TV where some, you know, FBI comes in and says to the local sheriff, okay, we're going to take over this case. They can't do that. But the federal marshal can.
Right.
When you see that on television and it's the FBI, they're not law enforcement. They are investigators. And they can't come in and tell a sheriff, sit down, we're taking over. But a U.S. marshal can. They're the real deal.
And you know what? it's always good to have some good people in your back pocket, and thank God I got some good people in my back pocket now.
What do you mean in your back pocket?
Isn't that funny? That sounded corrupted, didn't it?
It does. Are you becoming a corrupt politician?
Oh my gosh, you know, I'm the furthest from it, and you know, no, it's just good to know that I can call Jeff up at any moment, and what he told me, it was just astounding. He'll work with me at any minute of the day, any case I have, and he wants me on anything he has. So I just look at that and I think, wow, you know, that just, that's very integral and prestigious of an individual to say that to me. I'm taken back by it.
Yeah, and especially, as we were saying, especially if it's a U.S. Marshal. That's you know, a U.S. Marshal, if you go to another country on a U.S. passport, they can come get you in that other country if they have a warrant. They can come get you. And you might say, well, I'm not in their jurisdiction. Well, you are, because you're out there on a string, and at the end of that string is a U.S. passport. So the U.S. Marshals are, like I say, they are certainly the real deal. All right, look, we've got about a minute here before we've got to go to break, and here's what I would like to hear from you. Somebody comes to the Paracon, what are they going to get out of it?
They're going to get out of it a great, entertaining 3-day, we call it 3 days because it ends early in the morning. We have a meet and greet party with all the stars. They have the convention all day Saturday and a ghost hunt from 10 till 2 in the morning on Saturday night. It's for the family. It's wholesome. It really, truly is. And we keep it that way. It's good value. I don't like to say for the dollar, but I mean, it is good value. Come on out and see some celebrities that you see on TV, on film, and enjoy yourself.
Okay, so we won't be wasting time and we won't be wasting money.
No, not whatsoever. You will be having a great program that you'll watch people get up and speak, show you things that are not on TV, film clips, EVPs, ghost shots, you know, a magic show by Houdini that's unprecedented, and I'll be doing a dream gallery reading that'll probably be about an hour and a half long, and entertainment that'll just make people, you know, enjoy it. It's something different that people will really enjoy.
All right, we're going to step away for our break. We're only seconds away, and when we come back, we're going to open up the telephone lines for you so you can call and talk with Robbie if you have a question or a comment. We would like to give you the opportunity to join the conversation. I'll be giving those telephone numbers when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you are here finally. Sorry that you missed the first hour, because when you miss a single second of any of the Kevin Smith shows, you're going to be missing a universe of information. But I, although you have my sympathy for having missed that first hour, you certainly are welcome here now, and we're delighted that you are here, and I hope that you will join the conversation when we open up the telephone lines. Robbie, before we open up the telephone lines, let me ask one real quick question, and that is, how much does it cost for us to attend the Paracon?
Yeah, all day Saturday from 8 till 6 o'clock in the daytime is $50 general admission. The complete ghost package from the party, which includes a light luncheon on the Friday, all day Saturday, and the ghost hunt from 10 till 2 in the morning is $129.
All righty then. And they can go to canamparacon.com and purchase tickets from that website. Is that correct?
Yes, they can. They can go there and purchase their tickets. And we have very limited complete ghost packages left, but there are tickets for the party, the convention, and the ghost hunt.
All righty then. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines and allow our audience to join us in the conversation. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. And you can call that from anywhere on planet Earth, all right? Also, if you're in the United States or Canada and you need to call me on toll-free, we do have a toll-free line. It is 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free line for you, but I do have the flash message option just for you. And it's on our website, kevinsmithshow.com. You go there and scroll down. You'll see where it says Flash Message. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin and Robbie. This is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello, Rusty from Michigan.
Hi. Robbie, I was just wondering, do you teach others to use the psychic abilities like you have to do such work as with the police and that sort of thing?
You know, I used not so in depth, Rusty, about working with the police, but I used to, before I got so busy, I used to help individuals online. I had an online forum where people would be able to come and teach for, you know, I talk and teach them for about almost 10 years. I don't do it anymore because I'm so overwhelmed with all the work I do. I tell people to keep a journal, write down everything that happens to you, your disposition, the occurrence, you know, the disposition, what you're doing about it, and you see everything almost like a police report, where you see everything in line in your spiritual growth, learning how to cope and learning how to take the instillment or the betterment of spirit that comes to you, what you did that day for what you've got shown to you. And that's the teaching tool that I've been given to people, so that they can reflect and look back at what they've written and see their own words. And, you know, self-taught is, I would say, the best tool you can have.
All right. Now, you guys, Kevin, you started talking about this oil spill. Do you have any type of, I want to use the word warning, but that's probably not the right word. Any advice about what may be coming or what to do, you know, for what's coming, or such as getting prepared?
Well, I can't predict the future because unlike Robbie, I don't think I'm psychic. But I don't predict the future, and so I don't know exactly what's coming other than we apparently are going to get more of the same of what we're getting, and as you stack more and more oil into that gulf, you're going to have more and more devastation. So I would just say that in terms of just general survival of anything, and there's no guarantee, no matter how prepared you are, you could be sitting right on top of a volcano that nobody knows is under the ground. And, you know, so it, there's no guarantees. But I think being very, very centered in knowing who you are and being comfortable with who you are is very important. And what that means then is you're not very swayed by, well, I wonder what everybody else thinks about this. Everybody else isn't going to do your dying if it comes to that, you see. And since nobody else is going to do my dying if it comes to that, then I need to be comfortable with me and my plans and my preparations Do I know how to survive if the grid goes down? Am I prepared to survive if the grid goes down? And then if I am, then I've done everything I can do. And if I live through whatever catastrophe happens, then I'm prepared to survive beyond it. But like I say, nobody else is going to do your dying. Nobody's going to do mine. And therefore, since I have to do my own dying, I really need to be ready to do my own living.
That sounds good. That's what I was thinking about. You know, I was just wondering if anybody had specific, you know, like Robbie, with your psychic abilities, if you come in contact with anything specific to the BP oil spill itself, you know, like where it's going or...
Yeah, it's going to be quite the long time before they actually get a hold on this. You know, and I don't want to be a downer and say things that are bad, you know. We all see what's going on TV right now, and we can understand and you know, take our own personal forecast and go, oh, this will never be rendered fixable. It will be fixable, but it's going to be a long time from now. And it's a shame because the ecosystem and everything that balances on the Gulf is going to be destroyed, and it's a shame.
Yeah. Rusty, thank you so much for the call. All right, 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. And then the toll-free number, if you need to call me toll-free, is 888-223-4599. We have the flash message option for those who are not in the USA and they're not in Canada. All right? And so you can go to my website and just scroll down and you will see the flash message option. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Robbie. My name is Zenith. I'm calling from Prince Rupert, British Columbia.
Okay.
Robbie, I've got a question for you, and it might turn into a request. I don't know. The question is, do the police departments and detachments and whatever approach you, or have you approached them on certain cases?
You know, I've only approached, you've probably seen this case on television, the Victoria Stafford case in Ontario. Do you remember the little girl who went missing in Ontario?
That's right, yeah, I remember that.
Okay. Prior to her going missing, 2 days prior to, I seen a little girl going into the tree line, the huge pile of rocks and the wagon wheels. I didn't understand, so I took all my notes and I do my drawings as I do when it comes in. It's played out like a television. I got a hold of Rebecca Stafford, who's the spokesman of the family, and Rodney Stafford, the father, Doreen, the grandmother, and I met with Detective Beth Brown. And I brought them all my notes. They looked at them. They pertain to where her body was found. And, you know, I profiled a man and a woman when they were only looking for a woman leading the little girl away from the school. Do you remember that film footage?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And as the film footage showed only a woman leading her away, I profiled a male, his age, what job or characteristics about him, her mental state, the drugs that were involved, and the much younger that she was. And I handed all that to the family and Detective Beth Brown. And it stemmed, well, now we have two in jail, which are McClintic, the younger girl, and the individual, the male, that's in jail for what happened. God bless the family. They literally adopted me. I loved them. I met them many times. I spent hours with them. You know, it's something that was my very first case that I ever took myself out to go and say, I'll help you, whereas people have come to me. The information came so freely, and that's why I offered myself to help them. It was amazing how it all transpired, and if you went to my website, robbiethomas.net, the family has actually put a statement on my website, so it's all there in what they say. I usually wait for the family members and the police to contact me.
Okay, because I'll tell you why. I'm not a I'm not directly involved in this or anything like that, but they're between here, which is Prince Rupert, it's right on the coast of British Columbia, and Prince George, is about it. The Highway of Tears, I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, I just said it.
There's a website up, Highway of Tears. There's a lot of missing and dead women along this highway over the last several years. And I thought maybe you could have a look at it. I'm not directly involved. This is something that sort of sat in the back of my mind ever since I've moved here.
Yeah.
And I've met one of the mothers too, and it's painful.
It is. I actually was involved in that case, and one of the family members contacted me. I'll use her first name, Connie. And she was the aunt of one of the girls who went missing, and they found her body. Now, I was asked to go on that case a little while ago, and there's a little bit of specifics with that case that are very touchy, that involve more than just, a Joe Blow who's done this. And, I've gotten certain sensitive material sent to me, which I still keep on my computers. And I look at the fact that, you brought that up. It's funny because there hasn't been a case that's major that I've not been asked to do, like Natalie Holloway, Brian Jones, the founder of the Rolling Stones. There's a lot of high-profile cases, and the Tears Highway was one of them. Now, I'm still sitting. I don't force it upon people. They contact me, and I give my assistance. So I'm waiting for the family to contact me. If any other family member of any of those beautiful young girls that went missing and that are murdered want to contact me and you're listening, RobbieThomas.net, all my contact information's there, and I work strictly through the police and the families. So get a hold of me. I will help.
All right.
Yeah, because this is like I said, this is one that's been sitting in the back of my mind ever since I moved here, and I see kids out on the highway hitchhiking, and it's so dangerous, and it's like, is this kid going to make it to wherever she's going? It's sad is what it is.
It is.
So, but anyway, like I said, that was just a question, and you have had a little bit of involvement with this already, so that's why I called.
Zenith, thank you so much for the call. Are you a first-time caller?
No, I'm not. I'm a third time now over the last 4 years or so, Kevin.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, you ought to do at least one a year now. We ought to be up to four by now.
Well, it's been two in 2 months now, so.
Oh, well, you're getting better. Yeah.
I'm getting a little better.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Is the main telephone number here, and we would like for you to have the opportunity to join the conversation. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I'm running a blank here, Kevin. I was wondering if you can help me. What's that where you guys write down and try and predict what's going on? You did it like with the oil well thing here.
Just remote viewing.
Yeah, Robbie, is what you do anything like remote viewing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you an example. Whenever I get sent a picture, like Victoria Stafford, the case I spoke of, or Little Caesar Ivan Cano in Kentucky in 2007, I was just giving pictures of people and their name. And from the 2007 case, I was able to come up with the murderer's name, but it wasn't through me, and I want to stress that. It comes from them. And so I got the name given to me. I got the location of where the murderer was. I got the location of where Caesar's body was. It's through the remote viewing, but it's also touching the soul of the individual who's passed, meaning we communicate.
Yeah, this, you know, seems to be, you know, such a prevalent thing now and proven. You know, how's come what a police department section, maybe a private, you know, not the regular police, but a section, a new section of a police department, do this kind of stuff?
That's a good question. Good question. And the answer is that the U.S. government does have and regulate a remote viewing government agency part of it. They do. The Russians do. The Chinese do. They're huge on it. Some won't declare it, but they truly do. But smaller police agencies, it's very difficult when they don't have the resources to pay, you know, people, the staff, to do things when they haven't got time enough to do man hours on a cold case. When they reach a certain amount of hours on a case, it becomes a cold case. And then they have to take, you know, the revert of the tax dollar and do new cases. And it's a shame, but that's how it's done.
All right, Terry, thank you for the call. And it's a good question, isn't it? Budgets are, you know, how can we say? Budgets are all, you know, very countable, very meat and potatoes. And there are still a lot of people that don't consider psychic ability and remote viewing ability as meat and potatoes. They consider it way out on the edge. And so I'm not aware. Maybe you are, and if you are, Robbie, let me know. But I'm not aware of any local police agency that has anything in its budget for psychics, for using psychics.
No. That's why I fly all over the United States, and whenever I have, you know, $5 in my pocket, I'm the one who's toting a dollar and doing it. Recently, one of the cases, you know, I can't keep doing it out of my own pocket. So now when the families call me up, you know, I feel bad for them. So I say, look, if you pay my way there and you get myself my hotel, and my expenses just for the 2 to 3 days, I'm there to help you. I'm not charging them. But, you know, I have to get there. I can't take $2,000-$3,000 every time out of my own pocket anymore. And, I've done it for years, as you know, I have. It's just, it'll bankrupt an individual, and then people are sitting there and they're going, please help me. And then I say, how can I help you? I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Quite understood. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Perry from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hello, Perry.
Hi. Hey, Robbie. Hi, Robbie. I have a question for you, and I don't know if it's going to wind up being a prediction or just something that you're going to answer from your own opinion, but the way that the oil spill thing is going on right now has a lot of people who want to help on edge, because it's like we're individuals and there's so many stories that we're hearing about. Even Kevin opened the show tonight about you'll be arrested if you go into the area, you know.
And by the way, Perry, there's already one under arrest.
Oh, that's just a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not our friend who, reporter, forget his name right now.
No, it isn't. James Fox, no, it is not him.
So, Robbie, my question is along this alley. There's a lot of individuals that want to do something, and I think that individuals can do something, but maybe they might be met with some kind of resistance from you know, governmental agencies, namely, you know, FEMA, who wants to be the glorious savior when but then they don't do the job right, and, they, and individuals want to help. So what do you feel is the future down that avenue? I kind of feel like individuals is the only way to get...
Okay, well, let's give him a chance to respond.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, go yeah. right ahead.
You know, looking at what you just asked me, and, you know, think and feeling mass hysteria, you know, we have to give them the opportunity, which, you know, they're human too. Something happened, they have to correct it. If we bring more bodies of people down there wanting to help, we're going to clutter the situation. Although we understand that, you know, that coastline is huge, and you know, we got to stop it at the source. They have to be able to get down there and render a fix and get this done. It's going to take some time, and I mean it's going to take a long time. There's going to be some, you know, disaster of the ecosystem, like unprecedented. We, you know, as people don't want to see that. Of course we don't want to see that. And what has taken place is terrible. It truly is. We got to come together in a consensus and, you know, take all that anger we have and the resentment of what has happened because of a company that's built on dollars and what have you, but we got to turn it around now. We got to start to think above this, and we got to fix this. We got to. This is our lives we're talking about here. This is our planet, our people, everything that's in it, and it's looking bad. It truly is. They will get to the bottom of it, and they will fix this. It'll be some time from now, but it will happen. Are we going to recover from this? We'll recover from this probably about, oh my gosh, you know, the number 5 decades turn around, and it's like a half a century away before anything will turn to become anything good again. It's very bad. I'm saddened at what has happened, and we as human beings that live in this planet, and we destroy it each and every day by even starting your automobile. You know, we destroy this place.
All right, we have to step away for a break, guys. And Perry, thank you so much for the call. We will continue on the other side of this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Robbie Thomas, and our telephones are open, so you can join the conversation. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. And toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free out there. You can call our main number or go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see a link that says Flash Message. You can send us a flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Robbie. This is Heidi from Manitoba calling.
Hello, Heidi. By the way, Heidi...
Hi.
That was an excellent article that you wrote and we published in the K-Files. Thanks for the article.
Okay. Well, thank you for putting it on the front page. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I'm calling. I'm the BP oil spill. I was wondering, Robbie, prior to the explosion, apparently shrimpers took pictures on their cell phones of showing blue beams being directed onto the oil rig on the sky above, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but weren't there some reports about these beams supposedly coming off of NASA satellites?
Well, there are rumors of that. There are, I've seen the videos. It's quite amazing because there are two blue beams and it is coherent light. In other words, it doesn't spread out like a flashlight does or like a searchlight does. It's a straight, coherent beam that comes down. And there's two of them. Then after the video, there were a lot of speculations published on the internet about what those beams of light may be. But I don't think anybody has actually published anything where there's hard evidence of what those are.
I was wondering, maybe, Robbie, do you have any insight into what that might be, or what is sort of behind this whole disaster? Like, what's going on behind the scenes?
You know, when you mentioned about the beam of lights, it was very funny because I don't recall where I heard that, but I do remember hearing about the beam of lights. Now, I don't know if it was in passing of reading this, but I do recall seeing something, and you know, I just didn't pay attention. I wish I did. I'm not too much up on what's going on in the Gulf, other than, you know, seeing on the news and talking about it with you and Kevin, like right at this moment. I've been on tour and you know, working with the police for like a month and a half straight. It's a shame because I know it's been longer, but I mean, I wish I knew more. I would love to look into that.
Oops. Heidi, I apologize. I pushed a button to bring you back on the air and pushed the wrong button, which I do sometimes because I'm old and forgetful. I did not mean to cut you off. I meant to bring you back on the air. If you want to call back in and you have another question, I'll be glad to put you on. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
What I question I have for Rick, is, are the government going to allow people up in our section of the country and other sections of the country to offer places for those being move from the Gulf to stay?
You know, just listening to what you just said, you know, you're a very good individual and very kind-hearted. You know, just by what you said, it's very open. I hope the government does offer in the United States. Now, I'm Canadian, but I mean, I hope the government does step forward and allow these people to move out to open arms. Be it Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, where people will be acceptant of them and help them out. It does take a village to raise a child. We're all children, and you know, you look at what's gone on, and again, we have to say this. We have to work together in order to find this reprieve or this solace. So yes, you know, I hope they do, and that was a great question.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Mike, thank you. Let me say again for Heidi, you know, normally we accept one call per show per person, but I cut you off. So if you were not finished, you call back in and I'll put you back on the air. Good thing this is not an airplane, because we would we'd be nose first into the ground by now because I pushed the wrong button.
Thank God you're not flying it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I used to fly private airplanes. And I don't do that anymore, and I guess that's a good thing, too. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the main number. Toll free, 888-223-4599. If you are outside the USA or you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll free number, but you can, if you wish, send me a flash message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Robbie. This is Victoria from Washington. I don't know if this is an appropriate question to ask, but it's been something that's really been tearing at my heart for almost 2 years now. I have an older sister who committed suicide, and I had a dream. I have a feeling, and I can't prove it, and I was just wondering if it was possible for you to maybe confirm what my intuition is that she had someone suicide her.
When you were starting to talk, I was honestly wanting to butt in, but I wanted you to finish. I didn't want to be rude. No, I want you to take that thought and get that clear out of your heart, and don't think of that again. It's bad enough that we lose a loved one that has taken themselves by their own hand, but then to think that somebody else had an involvement with it because of certain conditions or circumstances. No, don't waste another moment, because when you were talking, that's what I got through, and I'm being honest here, is you shouldn't dwell on something like that whatsoever. Suicide, you know, we sit and we turmoil over the fact that our loved ones take their lives, and we don't understand. We don't. We cringe the thought. We hate the moment. They're not forgotten, and God does not just push them away and not acceptant of them. They go to the other side immediately. They're met by family members, friends. They're being loved. They truly are. You know, these thoughts have been going through your mind, and you know, when you look at stuff like this, and you talk about the other person and having this pointing of the finger, you know, could it be? It's not. So ease your heart, and that's the truth.
Okay, I appreciate that very much. I keep having dreams about her, and I know she is regretful, and I know she knows that she's made a mistake, and I don't think it should have happened. I'm angry that it did happen.
Yes, yes, and you know, shake your hand at the heavens, and you know, and tell her you're mad. Do it, and you know what? That's the best form of communication, because you're allowing yourself to express how you feel, and you know, she's learning to love herself again, and it's true.
Yes,
it's true.
That's true. Yeah, and I know she's in a good place. I've you know, been praying for her for so many years, you know, for help, and so I know that those prayers have counted, that they've, you know, that they've kicked in, and that she's in a good place. But I guess I've just been torn as to what to do, how to proceed, or anyway, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, Robbie.
God bless you.
Thanks, Victoria. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. 623-444-5889. Toll free 888-223-4599. Robbie, we've talked quite a bit here tonight about your work investigating crimes. What if you were to be called in to investigate BP? Would you do it?
No, that's very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Being off the murder cases, I was called in on fraud case. You know, I've been called in on certain different things and asked questions. I would be willing if anybody is... you know, wanting that, I would be willing.
You would be willing, knowing that if there was criminal activity, it could involve some of the most powerful people on this planet, in our government and in the shadow government of the oil companies. And you would be willing to tackle that, huh?
You know, it's funny because no man's greater than the next. and because he has a little bit of money doesn't make him any better than me. You know, there's people upon this planet, and we are big in numbers. We want answers. And it doesn't matter if a guy's sitting in an office and he's making $1 billion a year, he's no greater than you or I.
You're absolutely correct. And you know, you've been around me enough, at least in telephone conversations, you've heard me say that powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be. And you're exactly right. There's no one that's unimportant, but there's also no one more important than everyone else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 623-444-5889. We're going to be headed into a break here in a matter of seconds. And we will be on final approach when we come back from that break. And that means, of course, that if you've been sitting around with your fingers twitching saying, I really should call, and you've been holding your hand back, and you've been fighting it and saying, no, I can't call him because then I'll be talking on the phone. And I know you're terrified of the telephone. But if your fingers have been twitching, then when we come back from break, that will be the time to let your fingers go, let them be free, and you can call us and give and talk to us and give us your thoughts and your questions. Also, I want to encourage you to get over to CanAm, C-A-N-A-M, Paracon.com. Get your tickets for this conference coming up. We will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach. My guest this evening is Robbie Thomas. And we were talking about this BP situation and talking about whether or not, Robbie, you would accept to investigate possible criminal activity on that. And I had commented that there would be some very powerful people that you would be possibly taking a look at psychically, and they may take exception to that. You said, doesn't matter, you would do it, and I admire you for that. What level of a request would it take? I mean, would it have to be a request like from the U.S. Marshals, or would it have to be a request from some multimillionaire somewhere who just wants to see that this gets straightened up, or what would it take?
It would take, you know, you hit along the lines of the U.S. Marshals, which are very integral individuals. They do set out to do the right, so it would have to be an agency. You know, I don't care if it's Joe Blow and has $1 million or $10 million, you know, it just has to be done properly. The investigation, everything has to be set up properly, and it has to be done through an agency that's going to be looking at who is the, well, we'll call them perpetrators of what has been gone on. I'm all for it. Anybody wants to, or who has listened, or what have you, you know, this isn't a game we're playing. This is, you know, I've sat with murderers, and I'm not scared of them. I walk right up to them. I put the recorder right under their face, you know, so I'm not scared of, you know, people like that. So you brought up, you know, these are wealthy people, and, you know, no one should be fear anything, should fear not living your life. So, you know, I'm putting it out there. If anybody, you know, listening, you know, I'll probably have this conversation with Jeff Broughton tomorrow, and I'll tell him, you know, I'll say, you know, if anything does come up, I'm available.
Well, like I said earlier, nobody's going to do your dying for you. You shouldn't let them do your living for you. You have to make your own decisions and live your own life and do so according to what your core beliefs are. And I admire you for it. All right, we have time for one call. If somebody has been sitting around saying, I would like to ask him this question, well, now's the time for you to make that decision to call, because we're running out of time. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-223-4599. Outside of the USA, and outside of Canada as well, I don't have a toll-free number for you, but you can use the Flash message feature, but you have to do it now, because we are racing toward the end of the hour. Robbie, after Paracon, I know it's a big project. You've been working on it for a long time. Your book is a bestseller. You got two movie scripts you've done. You're doing two radio shows a day. After Paracon, what's next?
Well, a lot of people probably do know of this, and a lot of people don't, but you and I are part of a television series that we're hoping that, which sits with A&E right now. You know, they've had it for quite some time. They didn't say no, and it's still sitting there, and they're talking about it. So if that TV series goes well, then Kevin Smith and myself and a couple other individuals will be working together going after the bad guys. And I'm hoping that happens. I truly do. You know, it's funny because of the last, I would say, 2 months in total, month and a half, we'll cut it short, there's been 5 major production companies from Burbank all the way to Washington wanting to do TV series with me. And, you know, they're based on the crime. And I say, well, I'm taken. You know, it's like we're in a marriage now, and we've already shot the teaser pilot. So we're hoping that A&E smartens up, puts it out there. A lot of people are wanting it, and that would be the baby to shoot and do. So, you know, folks, you know, write A&E and tell them, because I know they've been getting letters from a lot of people, you know, get it on. And there's nobody out there who works with these law enforcement agencies who actually come out and say, yeah, I work with Robbie Thomas and people. I know people want to see the behind the scenes. They want to see what goes on and how these guys are caught. So, you know, it's not been done on TV. So let's do it.
Well, I'm for that. I hope that happens. But yeah, we've been tied up with a contract for a long time. And, you know, the time for them to act, well, they're running out of time to act, actually. So they've got to get on with it. And I hope they do. And I think it would be good for their ratings as well. I'll say this, it's a show like no other that you've seen. Even if you have seen all of the paranormal shows, you haven't seen anything quite like this. And so it would be it would be good for them, be good for their ratings. All right, Robbie, what's the most, to you, the most important thing that you want to leave with people here tonight?
I want people to understand and to reach out, you know, first and foremost, to your families and love them, your children, your wives, your husbands, your partners. You know, tell them you love them. Life is short. You know, the only I'm being really reminiscent of something. A good individual who was a hockey star died at 45 years of age. He was fishing and he had a heart attack and died. Your time can be any time. So tell people you love them and utilize that time properly. Look at the Gulf, you know, what's going on right now with the oil. you know, we just got to look at life in general and stop this mayhem. Look at the wars that are going on. Look at the famine. Look what's all going on in this life. We have to turn it around. People talk too much and little action. I think there's need to be more action than talk. You know, we all do our part each and every day, which is good. Let's do a little bit more. You asked me in the beginning of the show, how do I do everything and continue to do? Well, you know, if I find a minute in the day to do something, I'll do it. And regardless, I'll make 5 more minutes out of the day and I'll do more. You know, that's just the way I personally am. So, you know, just love your life, everybody, and live it fully. And that's what we were intended to do in this life.
Well, it sounds like good advice. And it is true that, you know, you stack everything up, everything in life, stack it up and start trying to weigh the value of it. And really, there's not anything you can stack up that's more important or that's even as important as the people you love. Robbie, thank you for being with us tonight. It's been absolutely fascinating as usual.
No, thank you for having me, Kevin. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy your program, and it's great. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, I know it was a little bit taxing on you because you had about 5 minutes after you got off of that other show. You had 5 minutes, and then I called.
Yes. But, you know, it's all good, and it's all part of the course of, well, here we are, another night and concluded, and up again early in the morning.
All right. Stay on the phone line with me for a moment, if you will. Folks, that's it. That's a wrap for tonight. I want to thank you for being here, and I hope you don't miss any shows this week or ever here at the Kevin Smith Show, because when you do, you'll miss a universe of information. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.